Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast. Today's episode is super special. I think there are many of you listening that are going to be very excited to hear some insights around how this business works. My guest is Melanie Marconi. She is the founder of Vita, Make Life Work. She has a co-working space in Portland, Oregon that also has childcare. I know some of you are pulling out your pens and pencils to take notes. And I tried to ask her all the questions that I thought folks would anticipate that were really interested in this topic. If we didn't cover something that you're super curious about, please send me an email. Melanie was amazing, super open and just approachable and wants to be helpful. So if you have questions that we didn't talk through that you're dying to ask, send me a note and I'll follow up with Melanie, jamie@everythingcoworking.com. Melanie is also really in an experimental phase. She's learning a lot about the business and figuring out what the path forward is going to be to optimize the model that she's working on. So I definitely want to follow up with her in, say, a year when she's, you know, taken the next step. Check out her. So I Google imaged her space after chatting with her yesterday, and it's beautiful. Definitely take a look at it. Melanie was such a pleasure to interview. Actually, somebody on her team reached out to me. I had not met Melanie in person and, you know, asked if I was interested in chatting with Melanie. And I love that. I get a lot of those, and I will most often they're from vendors and always ask for sure. But if it's just a straight vendor pitch, as you know, if you're a listener of the podcast, I say no to those unless there's something really compelling and it's something I feel like my audience really needs to know about. But I was dying to interview Melanie. And so if you might be in that camp, you're a listener and you've thought, oh, you know, maybe I should share my story, send me a note because I'll let you know if it's not a great fit. But certainly in Melanie's case, I was thrilled that she introduced herself. And I had a really great conversation with her and learning about her business and how she got into it. And it just, I love her mindset of learning, experimenting, but she's a super smart businesswoman, I can tell. So I hope you enjoy our conversation. Today, I am sitting here with Melanie Marconi, co-founder of Vita, Make Life Work, and co-founder of BDI Development Group as well. She's going to tell us her story. And one exciting note before we dive in here, Melanie is sitting in her podcast studio in her co-working space. I think, Melanie, you might be the only person I've ever interviewed in a podcast studio. I had one guest who had a podcast studio and didn't use it. And he had this weird echo in the room that he was in. And I kept thinking, why is he not in his studio? So welcome. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to talk to you.
Me too. Likewise. So I have so many questions about your story. So why don't we dive in? If it's possible, tell us the moment when you knew you had to create a co-working space that also offers childcare.
Sure. So I have been a longtime entrepreneur. I've owned a company since I was 23 years old. And I became pregnant with my daughter and realized that I needed a change. And I moved to a new city and bought a new home. And I ended up being basically a remote worker for my own company. So I was traveling back to LA.
So you had a team in LA?
Had a team in LA that was founded there. I lived there for 10 years, decided to move back to Portland, Oregon.
Is Portland where you're from?
No, not really, but I have a big like group of people here, a big community here, and I went to the University of Oregon, Ducks, so kind of a home in a sense. And so when I was basically remote working for my own company, it was great while my daughter was really little. And then as she got older and I was growing a team in Portland, we ended up getting to about six people on our Portland team. We were all women, all working from home. Five of us had kids. And so, you know, we would meet up in coffee shops and, you know, restaurants and my living room, as you do. And so I started looking for a co-working space here in Portland. And Portland is really fantastic because we have a lot of options, like truly, like I think per capita, like a lot of co-working options. And so I started going to them and checking them out. And while, you know, they were all great options. What I realized was that they were not built for the life that I was living, which is that I was a single mom. I was an entrepreneur. You know, I traveled some, but, you know, worked in an office mostly for the majority of the day. I had a pretty robust fitness routine, which I know you totally get.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that.
Yeah. And I just kind of, I had this life set up for me that was really working for me. And none of the co-working spaces I was visiting really supported that strategy that I'd put together for myself. And so I ended up not choosing any of them. And there we were again in my living room, you know, kind of doing the same thing. And I was seeing, you know, nationally, there were some women-focused co-working spaces popping up. The Wing and the Riveter were doing some really interesting things. And I thought, you know, they'll probably come to Portland eventually, but, you know, we usually get things like 5 years later, and I can't wait 5 years. And I'd started talking to other women entrepreneurs in our community, and there was really a need to, you know, have your kids be welcome, have your fitness schedule be, you know, honored, and then have all of the other things in place that women really crave, like community and classes and coaching and all of these other things. And I thought, you know, I remember it was on New Year's Day. It was kind of one of those, like, you know, New Year's resolutions things. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to do it. And I did.
Okay, perfect. So we'll back into this. So what is the company that you were running? And we talked a little bit in our kind of pre-chat that you've still been running it. So yeah, tell us kind of what that was about and what that looked like when you started running your space as well.
Sure. So my company is called BDI Development Group, and we do event planning, conference coordination, and consulting for nonprofit organizations across the country. And I started working for that division basically right out of college. I did a really brief stint working for some celebrity publicists in Los Angeles, which is what actually my degree is in.
Okay.
And did that briefly and just realized it wasn't, you know, the path for me, even though it was a great job and they were great employers. And so the next job I took was basically the company that I started working for. And then about a year and a half later, some internal things went down. And my two coworkers and I at the time bought out the division that we worked for, which was called BDI Development Group. So yeah, I was 23. We took over the company, had no idea like what we were doing. We had one big national client and, you know, we figured it out, you know, like when taxes were due. I remember like we didn't even know that we had to pay City of Los Angeles taxes until someone like knocked on our
door. Oh no.
Was like, where's your permit? We were like, okay. And so we figured out how to do that and figure out how to do bookkeeping. And, you know, over the years, we've built this really robust company. We just had our 15-year anniversary of the company, and I just had my 17-year anniversary working there. So it really has been like my lifelong career. I have great partners, and they were really supportive when I realized, you know, like this, I have had a whole career here and I've loved it, but I have this new idea. I think it has such benefit like for women and for the community. And so they've been supportive as I've, you know, kind of transitioned into doing Vita full time. But boy, it's not easy to have, you know, two full time jobs and launch a new company.
And a kid.
And a kid.
Yep. So how old is your daughter now?
She's almost seven. She'll be seven next month.
Okay.
She's in first grade. So
awesome.
Yeah.
I have actually, my daughter turns eight today. So after this, I'm going to pick her up from school and we're going to bake her birthday cake.
Oh, fun. Happy birthday to her.
Totally. So how long has Vita been open?
So we opened on July 1st of this year. So
okay.
We just started our fifth month of operations, but it's been in process. So from the day I decided to do it, which was January 1st of 2018, it took a full 18 months to actually get the doors open, which was a pretty, you know, accelerated schedule, really, but it still took quite a while. Finding the space was really the hardest part.
I know people underestimate how long that takes. It can be very frustrating. And especially, so again, I have so many questions. I have to try to put them in order. So let's talk about, so I'm curious about the need. So your daughter's in school most of the time.
Yeah.
But you still sort of had this, you know, you would show up at spaces and just not feel like you fit. But it wasn't specifically the childcare.
No, it wasn't specifically the childcare. But I do think that childcare, I mean, it's a huge issue for, you know, people who have kids like in every community across the country. Yeah. There's not enough of it. It's very expensive. But also, I just think there's a feeling too of spaces that are kid friendly and accommodate kids. And at mm-hmm. the end of the day, there's always going to be a day where you need to bring your kid to work or
school's closed. I was just talking to somebody, Chicago Public Schools, who was telling me this. We're on strike for 12 days.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
My business coach. And she said one of her consultants had to bring her kid to work. She's like, yeah. Well, I can't.
It's what else like, are you gonna do?
Right. I don't have any other options. So kids right? coming. Yeah.
Yeah. And so
12 days of unexpected non-vacation. Yeah.
Yeah. Out of the blue. And like yeah. that stuff happens, as you know, all the time. And so, you know, when I was kind of planning all of this, my daughter was young enough where she did still need childcare yeah. and it took a while, but many of our members still do need childcare. And so the way that I envisioned the space working out was that, you know, it's almost like this full kind of community center where like all of the needs that you have some way of getting taken care of here. So you can drop your kids and you can get work done and you can have a yoga class and you can meet with a coach and you can meet with our concierge if you need help, you know, shipping your shoes back when they don't fit. So kind of like all of those life needs would really be managed in a really like creative way, in a really seamless way, and like in a very beautiful space. So the kid piece was kind of the very beginning of it. And it was the foundation that allowed me to kind of think bigger on like, okay, if childcare is such a great need, like what other needs
are
being met?
Yeah, yeah, more of an ecosystem.
Yeah.
So how do you handle we have to get into details because everyone's going to be curious, the childcare piece and the legality of it, and how did that impact your space search?
Yeah. So, you know, and I kind of get why a lot of people don't have childcare included because it's not a cakewalk. But I think that, you know, the value outweighs the challenge in getting it put together. But I had, you know, in my mind, we actually need quite a bit of space to accommodate like childcare. And I knew that it was really important for the childcare to be very separate from the main co-working yep. space, right? So I thought about 12,000 square feet, you know, to kind of do this whole concept. And I had a vision in my mind of how I wanted it to look. And then 9 months in, I found the space that we're in. And it's a really perfect setup in that it's in two almost separate spaces connected with a hallway. But yeah, space was really important. And
because you need zoning, I guess, is childcare considered commercial, similar zoning?
Yeah. So, yeah. So that was a piece of it. And the model that I have currently here in this space is that it's considered drop-in childcare, which has a different set of rules from a full-time childcare center. So that's the way that we're established as a drop-in center. Right now, we take no more than 6 kids at one time. They can't stay for more than 4 hours over 20 hours per week. So there's some kind of rules built in that allow for this to happen. But on the flip side of that is staffing, right? And how to make sure. So we have a full-time teacher who's here the entire time. You know, from the kind of cash flow perspective, like you also have to manage that as well. So it's supply and demand happening at the same time within the space that's available. And we opened in the summer, which was also really interesting and I didn't really think about, but, you know, the kids aren't in school in summer. And so we had a different flow of kids over the summer that we do now. And then one of the other kind of parameters is that kids have to be potty trained.
Okay.
So, and you know, it's
so you're not taking infants. The 3 to depending.
Basically, yeah.
And then, potty training is a personal journey.
Exactly. Yes. Wherever you're at in the journey.
Yeah.
So it's not age-based necessarily, but like 2.5 to 3. And then we do have programs for school closure days and things and like, you know, holiday breaks and things like that for the older kids. And we're working right now on putting together an after school program.
Oh, interesting.
Like a couple days a week. So you know, which I had, you know, was my preferred, you know, kind of structure for me, for my daughter.
Yep.
Oh, and that's just taking a little bit longer to implement, but.
I know. Even when the kids get older, they have activities, but then, you know, there's aftercare at school and my daughter doesn't like it.
Nope.
It's super crowded. It's even when I go in there, it stresses me out. It's so full now. The woman, the main person wears this headset and talks to the kids through a headset. And it makes me like super anxious when I go in there. But it's distracting. You know, if I pick my daughter up at 3 when school's out, you have to have that conversation like, well, look, I'm still working.
Right.
So you and I have an only child. So now you have to entertain yourself without a screen.
Yep.
And same conversation. You sort of hope that works, but right, to have an opportunity to take her someplace on a smaller scale and still be able to focus and not worry about what she's up to would be amazing.
Yes. And that was basically the idea. Like you can, you know, I think a lot of parents like the idea of going to pick their kids up from school and then they can come back and have something to do while you get another couple hours of work in. Right. But, you know, also we've learned a lot too in the last few months just about how, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure you're running one long experiment right now. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes, we totally are. And it's been really fascinating to see. And so, you know, we're taking a lot of these learnings to kind of tweak them for, you know, the next step that we'll be taking as a company.
So how do you manage the supply and demand? Do you require, because it's drop-in, but do you require commitment? Because that, I mean, the whole model is, the co-working model is challenging because the most expensive line item after your rent is staff, right? So and now you added another full-time person for childcare.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I haven't perfectly worked it out yet. I mean, basically the way we've been running it so far is that we basically underwrite a full-time employee to have this as like an amenity to our members. And so members do pay an hourly fee, you know, hour that their kids are in Vita Play.
Yep.
But it doesn't, you know, all necessarily always cover the teacher. But, you know, I feel like that's a big piece of what we're offering. And so we've, you know, continued to have it. We're looking at a couple other models where it's a little bit more on demand, you know, because part of it too, like it really does depend on like who are your members, right? Like as a co-working community, we exist to help support our members. And so it really does depend on how the members, you know, like what, how old are their kids?
Right.
Like what are their work schedules? And so that's actually what we're working on now is figuring out like, how can we actually best support you? You know, is drop-in helpful? Would other hours be helpful? And really looking at it from all angles.
And then that'll shift over time because as your members shift, right, they're all of a sudden, oh, you're, you know, the age of the kids could drop or.
Right.
Yeah. It's a really dynamic.
Don't need it. Yeah.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm. So you're right.
And actually, I just this week hired what I'm calling an amenities coordinator, which I think is going to be a really helpful piece too, because, you know, we have at Vita a lot of different pieces happening all at the same time, like co-working and childcare and the fitness. And so she's going to have like more of a direct, you know, kind of one-on-one line about the different amenities that we're offering and how we can really customize them to
and help people use them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Sometimes you have to teach people how to. Yeah,
yes.
Totally.
Yeah.
So you're experimenting now, but eventually how do you think the model will play out in terms of making that work?
So this is my bet. I think actually what is really truly needed is more than drop-in. I think what families are really looking for is more of a long-term yet flexible solution to childcare. And so what we're looking to do for phase two is actually open a full service childcare center still in the same building so it can be connected, but that can offer care for infants and toddlers, which is, I think, two of the most in need.
Yeah,
ages.
The pain points. Totally.
Exactly.
Yep.
Especially here in Portland, like Portland does a great job at preschool and does a really tough job with infants and toddlers for
I think to your point, that's like a global problem. It's crazy how hard it is.
So we're thinking about throwing our hat in to tackle that problem here and really making it, you know, even the way people do childcare is so different than 10 years ago. You know, it's not, you know, there's grandparents helping out, there's flexible schedules. Like if there's two parents in the family, they can work opposite schedules. There's all these different ways to do it now. And there's no childcare solution that's really there to support, you know, this new way of working. And co-working really plays in to this dialogue and the solution. And so I just feel like there also needs to be a layer of childcare that kind of fits into it, you know?
Totally. But you're running into the trying to solve it first is hard because you can see why the old model, you commit to, I don't even want to talk about what childcare costs.
Right.
Don't say that number out loud. I'm so glad that's over.
Right.
But, you know, even the aftercare, I'm constantly like trying to manage, you know, you want to keep your spot, but you don't want to overpay.
Right.
It's like, yeah, it's an interesting.
You're at the mercy of like what's available. And, you know.
But you can see from their side, well, look, they have costs they need to cover that are not variable. They're fixed costs. And so they have to manage, you know, which is what you're trying to do. How do you manage that, provide the flexibility? Do you see a scenario where your membership fees would be premium and cover some of that, like just the access to that?
Yeah. So we're a little bit premium as it is.
Okay.
Just offering this amenity and the other amenities that we do. And we're definitely not the least expensive option in Portland. Yep. So I'm not sure how that will play out if we have to actually increase. I think what the bigger benefit will be is that our members would be able to have priority into the childcare. And just that in and of itself is a big situation here too. So, you know, becoming a member of a co-working space might be, you know, beneficial in a lot of ways. And one of them could be, you know, just getting into it.
The access. Center. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So why do you want to do it yourself?
Good question. So I'm actually looking at a bunch of different options, you know, either, you know, hiring a director to do it or partnering with another group to kind of come in and do it. I think there's pros and cons to both sides. And I haven't quite decided, you know.
Okay. Which is still one long experiment. I mean, because the argument could be we'll just co-locate with Bright Horizons.
Yes.
You know.
So, yes. And the challenge I have with that, and, you know, so KinderCare is based here in Portland.
Okay.
Also. But I think that the truth is that I just want to blow up the model in and of itself.
Yep.
You know, and I think that they're, you know, they do a great job in the model that they have, but I see a different way for the future of like what that could look like. And so, you know, in that way, it's nice to have a little bit of say.
Yeah. You're still sort of forcing yourself not to just partner, but to really say, what could the model look like? And can we find a way?
Yes.
Have you fundraised? And is that kind of on the plate for the next short horizon? Yeah.
So that I opened Vita in a very kind of multidimensional way. So I invested a lot of my own money and resources. I raised $111,000, like in a friends and family round. And I also got a loan from our economic development.
Wow. Great.
Here in Portland. Yeah. Which has been a great.
Well, that, partner. Yeah. And also I love that you mentioned that because that's super inspiring for other people looking at that, even in a major city.
Yeah. And, you know, they've all been interesting processes.
Yeah.
All of the different angles. And that one, just on an advice type level, I would say is find out who you know who knows someone there. Because it's really, I think, difficult to get in the door, especially in a concept like co-working, which, you know, for us is not new. But industry-wide from like historical funding perspective is kind of new.
And there's just not a lot of public data on the model. Yeah,
exactly. And not enough success cases.
Right.
And I think that's why I was able to secure it in the first place is that I had, you know, someone, you know, who I knew, who they knew that could kind of vouch for me and say like, you know, at least give her a meeting and see what she's up to.
Sorry, it's a loan from them, not a grant.
It's a loan, yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
right, I usually think of grants, yep. Mm-hmm. And did you fall under like women-owned business or some category of...
I did, and I think it was a federally backed program. I think it had, you know, women majority owned, but the program actually had an FF&E component to it as well.
Wow.
So I really kind of like
interesting.
Was able to get the meeting and then it fit in all the boxes that they had available.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about the fitness component. What does that look like?
So we have a really beautiful fitness studio on site, and we do at least one class a day, and our classes are free for our members. So right now we have a yoga class Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We have a HIIT class on Thursday, which is 30 minutes, and then a Zumba class.
Nice.
And then we have like a meditation and mindfulness class every Tuesday at noon.
And who instructs those?
So two of the yoga classes are taught by my personal yoga instructors I had prior to opening this, and they're really fantastic and well-known in the community. And then our third class is actually taught by one of our members in trade. Yep. Yeah, and she's really amazing too. And then one of the yoga teachers teaches the HIIT class, and then an outside person for Zumba. And I'm actually looking for kind of innovative ways to bring outside community folks into the classes. You know, they're really great classes and they're already existing. So we're kind of looking to experiment a little bit with that to help benefit the community.
And you don't charge extra for members?
Nope.
So you're where you have to pay instructors, you're just paying them outright to come do the service and then some trades. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sure you've heard me talk about this. When I started Enerspace in Chicago, we had a fitness studio, and managing the staff for the classes was a kind of a big challenge.
Yes.
Getting people to commit and be there. And so yeah,
I have heard you, and it is, you know, it's getting to the point now, like I said, where I'm hiring somebody to kind of come manage it. And I think the only reason it worked so well for the last few months is that I had worked with them before. They were like friends of mine, and
totally. You know, and you knew they were reliable before, and
they
yeah.
were bought in, and they were, you know,
yeah, really wanted committed. To support and be committed and
exactly.
Yeah. Reliable. And how do you see that evolving in the future?
Yeah. You know, that's a good question. I mean, I think that there is a potential for it to be a pretty robust program. I think there's a couple actually studios who have expressed interest in almost like moving their studio practice here. So it could kind of be this cooperative thing where they have their own classes and their own students and then our members can participate, and you know, the space is there. So it's like we can really maximize it. We also use the space for a lot of outside classes. Like we did a Reiki training and other kind of yoga training. It's, you know, usable in that way too. So yeah, kind of TBD. I think that one is a little bit of a sleeper right now. And I think to your point too, it's also one that it's hard to figure out, right? You're kind of underwriting this big cost while you figure out how to maximize it.
Yep.
And also changing habits, because most people are not used to being able to fit fitness in.
Do it at work. Day. Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
So, and do they do it during the day? Do they, right, before, after, when, and everybody's different, but you still have kind of a fixed population. And so you're not going to,
And we kind of know who people are now and like what kind of classes they like ish, you know?
Yeah. Do you have showers on site?
No.
Okay.
So that's the other thing, kind of working around that.
We
have space for one that we could build, but
I built one, but it was still one. And so it was never going to be practical for 10 people to go to HIIT class and then shower and get ready. Like, and dry hair and do all that. But could be, you know, future in your model.
Yeah. We do have a lot of dry shampoo and a blow dryer.
Nice. Yeah. Totally. I know. Yeah. We won't talk about. Yeah. I am a frequent dry shampoo user as well. You have to be when you work out. You have to like find a way to fit it all in.
That's right.
Well, so you're still experimenting with a lot. And you co-founder, do you have another active like manager in the business?
Yeah. So I'm a solo founder of Vita, but I have a really fantastic community director named Greer Kern, and she really is like a huge support and really is there, you know, to be on site for our members in the co-working capacity.
So I totally commend you doing this, because I remember when I started MySpace and was trying to do some of these new things and wasn't even touching childcare, just like the fitness piece and the wellness piece. I think I felt like I would have been a lot braver to have a business partner. You know, because you're sort of admitting like, look, this is not going to be my best iteration for a while.
Right.
I'm learning. I'm experimenting. We're going to figure things out. And you're probably taking a longer term view. Yeah. Like, we're going to figure out what the next X number of locations look like. And I think it takes a special personality to do that and sort of own it and say, you know, because we're so, as entrepreneurs, and you've been a successful business owner for so long, you know, hard on ourselves and want to be successful right out of the gate and saying, look, yeah, we're figuring some things out.
Right. It is really hard. Yes. Because you have this vision and you want it to happen like immediately and right away. And the truth is it never really works like that.
Yeah.
And yeah. And I had, you know, at BDI Development Group, I had three other business partners. There were four of us there. And now it's just me, which, you know, I thought would be you know, it's something new. But yeah, to your point, it's a lot to manage, and, you know, especially when you're still tweaking and experimenting. Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah, the partnership thing. I think the grass is always greener, probably. You think, oh, it's so hard to have partners. It'd be great to do this something on my own. And then it's lonely in many ways. And
there's definitely pros and cons. And I had the best possible business partners at BDI too. So it'd be a hard act to follow for sure.
Yeah. So you just opened 5 months ago. Yeah. Tell us, like, kind of what does the future look like in terms of balancing BDI and Vita?
Yeah. So I'm actually going to be transitioning out of owning BDI by the end of this year. For the past 18 months, like, as I had the idea and started implementing and opened, up until 3 weeks ago, I was still working full time at BDI. And wow. It just got to a point where, you know, I'm not doing anything well.
Yeah,
you know, I was able to hold on to it for a while, and then it just got to be too overwhelming, especially after we opened. And as you know, like, in the first couple months, things are just, you know.
Yeah. You feel like you're drinking from a fire hose and can't think straight. And
yes.
And you have a whole other full-time job. Yes.
Exactly. And then my daughter. Yeah. Right. So, you know, I think it was time. And even just, like, being able to, like, free up, like, the brain space has been, like, the biggest, you know, kind of amazing outcome of it. But I'll have to say, you know, it wouldn't have been possible for me to open Vita any other way. And I think that oftentimes, you know, as entrepreneurs, or for somebody looking to start a new business, you have this notion that you have to quit your job and
totally do. Like they say, like you see it on TV where people just write, like, run into the office. Yes, exactly. I'm starting my own business. And then 2 years later, they're Facebook. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly. And, like, I just knew, I mean, I'm a single parent. And so I, you know, just, you know, from a personal finances perspective, that wasn't an option for me. But also, you know, it just, yeah, a lot of being able to time manage and, you know, kind of looking way, like, meta big picture was, you know, possible because of the way I did it. So for anyone listening who's thinking of, you know, opening a space or doing anything entrepreneurial, like, it's definitely, you know, doable to kind of do both at the same time while you figure it out, even though it's very, very difficult too.
I feel like it's a little cliche because now I hear it everywhere, but the phrase, you know, it's a season.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I don't have that perspective enough in my life. Like, when I had my daughter, you know, I was like, you sort of get this sense, like, my life is always going to be like this, like an infant and trying to work and do all the things. And then you realize, like, oh, it doesn't really last that long. Then they turn into little human beings and they're much more manageable.
Right.
But with you, you know, maintaining a full-time job, which was, you probably had moments where you thought, like, you couldn't do it anymore, but it's a season and you can get through, if you have sort of the longer vision and your why in mind, we can get through a lot of things for a short period of time.
Totally. And also knowing kind of the exit and the end result,
the, like, plan.
We plan, like, we've been planning for the last 6 months, you know, for this to kind of happen the way it did. So I think that was really helpful too.
So back to the childcare piece, because I'm trying to anticipate all the questions. People are like, why didn't you ask her this? You know, I have a number. It's interesting and not interesting. I think it makes a lot of sense. But so I have this program called the Coworking Startup School, and I help people who, and, you know, I think roughly a third of the last couple of cohorts have been women wanting to do spaces for women.
Oh, really?
And not very many, I don't know if any of them are tackling the childcare piece, but very passionate, like you were, like, look, we just haven't found the place that's for us. And so they always want to hear of other people who have done this and been successful, and what does that look like? I mean, especially the childcare piece. What advice would you give to people, you know, without spilling your secret sauce, but who are, you know, in a local market and want to try to figure this out?
Yeah. So, I mean, big picture advice, especially on the childcare side. So know that it is an experiment. And I think it really depends on, you know, the city you're in and the regulations that you have to work with. But it's also, you need to have a little bit of runway to figure it out because it's new and it's experimental. And so depending on the way you set it up, like, it may take a little while to kind of figure it out, you know, in a way that makes it, you know, cost effective. And so, like I said, I look at it as, like, almost, you know, one of our amenity offerings and kind of rolling that into the overall, you know, membership kind of structure. And also, you know, you're dealing with kids.
Right.
And I think I didn't, you know, quite put two and two together either, but like they're small humans with, you know, minds of their own. And, you know, the cool thing about Vita Play, which is what we call our drop-in program, is that once kids get in there, they actually feel this like ownership of it in a way. You know, it's like cool to them maybe that they can be working and near their parents. And so that's one thing that's really worked in our favor, is like really creating a space that the kids can like own and really feel a part of. And so I think that that would be a great place to start as well.
My next question was for you. Are there men in your space? Is it all women? Okay.
Yep. No, men are welcome. I think at this point, 18% of our members are men. We just hit 80 members this past week. So
congrats.
Thank you. Yeah. So definitely they're welcome. And I think, you know, we have a very inclusive community and it's designed for women's lives, but I think that that is really appealing to all humans.
Yeah. Do your male members use the drop-in services?
Some of them do. Yeah.
I know. It's funny. We talk about different generations. I was at a work tech event recently. They're talking about kind of the general workforce and they break down sort of the age groups, the millennials and the Gen Z and Gen X's, whatever, all the, and it's like they're trying to find the differences, and there are, and yet everyone, to your point, is like a human and wants life to be easier and more flexible. And
right.
They have, you know, slight nuances in terms of maybe sort of like where they're at in their life and what's important, but there are a lot of commonalities. It's like, well, we're all human. We all want community and we all want flexibility and we all want to be able to prioritize different things that are important at different times.
Exactly. And that's what we're trying to help our members do, is like, where are you at? What do you want? And like, how can we support that for you? Yeah. At the end of the day, everybody kind of wants the same thing.
So what's next for Vita?
Good question. And very exciting.
And the
question.
Experiment. Yeah.
Yes. So I think hopefully the experiment will continue on the childcare front. There is a space available in our building that would be able to connect us. We're trying to see if it, you know, is properly coded and whatnot for childcare, to have a full childcare center. So for infants, toddlers, and preschool, with priority for Vita members. And then, you know, running that model and seeing what that shakes out to. But we definitely want to open more locations for sure here in our local market, where, you know, Portland is a pretty big metropolitan area now, with Vancouver, Washington, and some of the, you know, kind of southwest suburbs. And so I think there's definitely room for another location or two here. And then hopefully expanding outside of Portland into other markets.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing your story with us. And you're still so new. I can't wait to check in, you know, in a year or two and see where you're at then and what the experiment, you know, looks like and what you've learned.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me. And thank you for all that you're doing in the co-working front. It's really great, all the information you're sharing.
You're welcome. Well, it's so meaningful to meet people like you and to hear your stories. So until we chat again.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.